Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We're very thankful to be a part of your day today. I'm Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We produce this program every week in conjunction with Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi. And the other speaker on this program, in addition to myself, is Elder Joe Nettles, who's the pastor at Sulphur Springs. We hope our time together is a blessing to you, and if so, we would love to have you come back with us every single week at this time. Also, if you enjoy the messages that you hear, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know that you're out there. You can go to our website at gospel-of-grace.com, find our contact information. You can email us at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. And again, we would love to hear from you if you're a listener to our program, particularly if you're in the new broadcast areas that we have out of Tupelo, Mississippi and Pensacola, Florida. We'd really love to hear from you to know that we have people who are listening to our program in those new broadcast areas through the radio. Also on our website, gospel-of-grace.com, you can find past messages, subscribe to our iTunes podcast. And if you're listening somewhere else outside of the state of Mississippi or outside of the Southeast, then you can find links to a church that will be closer to you. But if you're in North Mississippi, we'd love to invite you to come worship with us at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church on Highway 15 in Ackerman, Mississippi, and Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church on Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. Meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and we would love for you to come out and worship with us. This morning we'll be playing for you the second portion of the message from Isaiah chapter 52 from Elder Joe Nettles regarding the gathering of Israel. Again, this is a very important topic to understand the proper fulfillment of many of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the nation of Israel. We don't need to be solely looking to the bordered land of Israel in the other hemisphere of the world for the fulfillment of these prophecies. Instead, many of these prophecies, as Brother Joe clearly explains to us in this message, are verified by Scripture to have been fulfilled in the New Testament church and in the ministry of Jesus Christ. So stay tuned this morning for the second portion of the message regarding the gathering of Israel. Stay tuned. Our message will begin right after this hymn.
My chains are gone. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2. And notice the Apostle Peter himself declared very boldly in Acts chapter 2 at this preaching of the Feast of Pentecost. He said, verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." Remember that branch of righteousness go up unto David, as it were? This is what he's talking about. "He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." He identifies the day of the fulfillment. And we're in that period of fulfillment right now. We don't have to look for it to take place in the future. We can feel the power and the joy of it right now. But notice, he talks about the same branch of righteousness ushers in the exact same period when it says, "the Lord our righteousness." Well, brothers and sisters, when is a period that we're familiar with where you are able to see and know that the Lord is your righteousness? In the Old Testament, they couldn't. I mean, they were following the law. They were in great darkness. They didn't have the fullness of the revelation that we have now. Well, let's go to a few places real quickly. Romans chapter 1, I'll just quote this from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Notice that. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." That's the faith of Jesus Christ. And we're in that faith today. Amen? We're in that faith today. In Romans chapter 3, notice verse 21. "But now," this is Romans 3:21, "but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." The Lord our righteousness, that branch of righteousness. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested," notice, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets." We just read where it was witnessed to by Jeremiah and by Zechariah. He said, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference." When is it? When is a period of time when you could truly say, "the Lord is my righteousness"? It's right now. Talking about us walking after the steps of our father Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, he says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." He is seated on the throne of David right now as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is both king and priest. He is both Lord and Christ. And my friends, David described there was coming a time when this blessedness would be upon men, when their sins would not be imputed unto them, and they would be made to see it and know it. When is it? It's right now. It's right now. The Lord of righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, and the branch of righteousness is made manifest. We go to Galatians chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." In Philippians chapter 3, quickly. And notice what the Apostle Paul said. "Yea, doubtless," this is Philippians 3 and 8, "yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." Isn't knowledge a wonderful thing? He said this knowledge of Christ Jesus does what for you? He said, "He's my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." That means to champion Christ and to win and succeed in Christ, something, a blessing in Christ Jesus, "and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Not sometime in the future, right now. Right now. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Stop trying to put that in the future. Jeremiah, Zechariah, the Apostle Peter, the inspired writer Paul, they all point to the time we're in right now. Now is the time when he is both Lord and Christ, not someday in the future. Oh, forevermore in eternity he will be and always has been. But I'm telling you, now we see it and now we're able to know it. We'll go to a couple other places to prove this point. John chapter 11. Notice the wording in John chapter 11. Got a Caiaphas, this wicked high priest, is prophesying. He doesn't even know it. In John chapter 11 and verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, this is John 11:49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Now listen to this. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. So here he's prophesying by the power of God, even when he doesn't realize he's prophesying. He's just thinking about political power. God's talking about eternal power, redeeming power. And he says he spoke of Jesus should die for that nation. Verse 52, and not for that nation only, but that he also should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. There he equated the Jewish nation with the Gentiles and the gathering together. Very conspicuous language, is it not? Do you think that was careless by the Apostle John when he was inspired to write that? Absolutely not. He knew exactly what he was saying. The ultimate gathering of Israel is taking place right now in the gospel kingdom in the New Testament church. We go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. I believe these are very important passages of Scripture for us to be able to defend the faith and to help correct other people that have been bewitched by so many televangelists and this, that, and the other people trying to sell books and stir up fear. Well, let's just go to the Word of God and find comfort. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to start reading with verse 15. The Word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah. And then he told him to get another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim. So here he's got a stick that represents Judah and a stick that represents Ephraim. And he's saying, you know what? These two sticks are going to be placed together. In other words, they're going to be gathered. So then we're going to, for time's sake, go down to verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. So here, obviously, he's talking about the reuniting of Israel and Judah and the gathering of Israel and Judah. Well, what's the ultimate fulfillment? We're going to get to that. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. As being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, does it mean you're not tempted by idols? Does it mean you might not even fall into idolatry? But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, if you are a true believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it shows you the imputed righteousness of Christ covers you. And as God the Father sees you at that last day, you will be as clean and white as snow and have no sins, no idolatry, no errors to your case. And David, my servant, notice that, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. They all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. There he's talking about the fulfillment of David's promise. And this is going to be something that's forever and will carry on in continuity. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. Now, somebody said that's going to be sometime in the future in a 1,000-year reign on a utopian, glorified, perfect earth. No, wait a minute. Because then he says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God. They shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. Well, this is sometime off in a future, glorified, changed, prettied up earth where the righteous don't have to worry about the wicked anymore. Why are the wicked heathen still here among the tabernacle? My friends, the tabernacle he's referring to is not Jerusalem sometime in a 1,000-year reign. He's talking about the church of Jesus Christ, our Lord, right now. Our churches are in the midst of enemy territory. But my friends, when we gather together as the lively stones, not only the kingdom that dwells in us, but the kingdom, my friends, that we come together to rejoice in is a kingdom that cannot be moved. The Lord promised it and established it in the days of those kings, according to Daniel 2:44. And I'll tell you, it has been permeating. Permeating is a pleasant leaven Oh, every nation, every sense. And it breaks apart those kingdoms and breaks them apart. And brothers and sisters, this kingdom has been spreading. This kingdom has come to fruition. And we're in it right now. And though the enemies assail us and they're all around us, the tabernacle of the Lord, king and priest, is right here in the midst of us right now. Right now. So notice he says the fulfillment of the promises to David. It's a forever fulfillment. It's not going to be moved. These people are not going to be shaken. Well, he says there's one king and he's David. Now somebody will say, well, no, David's going to be resurrected from the grave at the second coming of the Lord. He's going to raise up David from the dead, just like he will all the righteous dead. He's going to raise up David. And literally, I've heard, we were talking about Reverend J. Vernon McGee earlier, and this is what he believed. He believed literally David was going to be resurrected from the dead and he was going to serve as king over Israel. But my friends, there's only going to be one king. Now where do you leave Jesus in that, Brother McGee? Here, obviously, this is talking about Jesus. But, you know, somebody may say, well, no, it's actually going to be David. That just won't fit. That won't fit, because go with me now to that promise over in 2 Samuel chapter 7. But I just don't want to let go of this bone right now. So y'all just bear with me. This subject's just been gnawing on me. So just bless me to get a little relief. Just hang in there with me now. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, here the Lord gives this covenant promise unto David. He says, let's begin reading verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David. This is the words of the Lord by Nathan to go and deliver it unto David. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. See, we just read about that in Ezekiel chapter 37. The same thing that we've also read about over in Jeremiah 33. Same thing that we've read about over in Zechariah chapter 6. Same thing that's being pointed to as fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. But again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Just to stick with this. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. Notice, they still try to afflict us, but they don't afflict us as before time, right? And as since that time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and cause thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Remember that phrase. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He says in verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So my friends, he's talking about this is a promise. It's going to be ultimately fulfilled, and its fulfillment will be forever. But when does he say this house will be established? While David is dead. Right. Not while David's alive. While David's dead. He said, and when thy days be fulfilled. That means you don't have any more days. If you raise up David again, he's got more days on the earth. But he says, as touching this earth, he said, his days are fulfilled. His tale has been told. He said, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. You're going to be dead. David's dead. David, you're going to be dead, and you're going to be in the grave. That sound familiar? What did we just read over in Acts chapter 2? He said, I tell you, the patriarch David, we know where he's buried. I can show you where his grave is right now. I can show you where his body is lying. But my friends, he said this, he spake of Jesus, who was resurrected from the dead and is seated on that throne. You see, brothers and sisters, not while David's alive, but while David's dead, this has come to fruition, and it has come to fulfillment, as we read earlier. Two more quick passages. Go with me to the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read one verse in Joel. Joel chapter 1, verse 3. For behold, again, strong language set in context. For behold, in those days and in that time. Oh, that's strong words. I mean, you can't take that lightly. In those days. He didn't just say in those days. He said in those days and at that time. Very specific. When I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Oh boy, now we're getting to the meat of the issue. What are the days? What are the times when this is going to take place? Well, you know, a good brother many, many years ago, back in the 1500s, I think, actually inserted the chapters and verses, divisions in the Word of God. Up until that time, it was just one continuous word. So back up just a little bit into the end of chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, he's going to tell you when those days are. He's referring to what he just said. In those days and in that time. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That means saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Where do we read that? That's the fulfillment has been fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, quoted in Acts chapter 2, at the Feast of Pentecost. This passage from Joel chapter 2 was quoted, and Peter said, this is that. This is that. So my friends, it wasn't just then was that. This is that we're in now. This is that. And he says that in those days and in that time shall I bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. We go to one last place. And then we're just going to make a few closing comments. Go with me to the book of Amos. We're going to go to Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. In that day, okay, again, tells you context. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. Okay, here, fulfillment of the prophecy and the promise to David will be fulfilled, obviously. He said, I'll raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins. I will build it as in days of old, according to the promises that God gave him way back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. Notice, here's some heathens coming in. Heathens are coming in, and of all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. So what's he saying? Not only when he talks about the fulfillment of the promises to David and the gathering of the people and the rebuilding of the tabernacle, the promised temple, as it were, he also identifies the Edomites. Edomites were what? They were heathens, as it were. They were as seen as contrary to Israel. But he said, you know what? Some of them are going to be included in this. And guess who that represents? That represents the Jeffrey and the Jennifer, the Ruth. It represents all of us. We, my friends, are those being prophesied of right there. We are the Gentiles that have been brought in. And he said, it was in this day this shall happen. Well, what day was this? If you go to Acts chapter 15, verses 15 through 17, you're going to find that this passage was quoted during that council at Jerusalem. And he said, you know what? He applied it to the New Testament church that we're in right now. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Every time that the gospel gets carried off, whether it's in the Philippines, some poor ignorant child over in the Philippines gets to hear the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That child doesn't have a Hebrew bone in its body. That child did not probably, and most likely did not descend from Shem, probably from Ham. But I'm here to tell you, when that child hears the preaching of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, another Jew has come home. Whenever someone over here in ignorance hears this gospel, maybe some old person who's been contrary all of his life, Elder Danny Wisner was telling me about his daddy who has been very vitriolic against religion and preachers for all of his life. Now all of a sudden he's reading the Bible and going to church, and he got the privilege of baptizing him several months ago. I can tell you what, that old man been kicking against the pricks all of his life. But I will tell you, that day, that old man came to Jerusalem because he'd been gathered, my friends, as part of the fulfillment of this prophecy. And every little child is born again of the Spirit of God. Before the abortionist is able to tear it from its mother's womb, that child will be gathered unto Israel. That child will be returned unto the border of righteousness, the border of Israel, according to the prophecy in Jeremiah and in Malachi 1. My friends, we don't have to look to the Eastern Hemisphere. We don't have to look to Israel. I'm not against Israel. I hope they make it over here. I hope they thrive. They're our political allies. But I'm going to tell you what they are. They're unbelievers in the name of Jesus Christ as Lord. Don't forget that. But my friends, you are the fulfillment of these prophecies. Don't lose sight of that. Don't let anyone fool you. Hold to that. See yourself as part of that. And rejoice in it. It's been making me happy all week just to think about preaching this. It makes me happy to be one of those gathered Israelites. I thank y'all for your good order and attention.
My spirit free.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful, the Master Spirit.